Certified Nurse Midwives, and a special interview segment with Amy Romano from scienceandsensibility.org. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the show this week. I know we have a lot of brand new listeners as new nurses, nursing students, and other members of the medical community and healthcare community find The Nursing Show. This time of year, we seem to see a huge increase in listeners, so I want to make sure everybody out there is welcome to the show. Make sure you head over to nursingshow.com and find all of the additional resources, including the show notes and links for every episode. This episode and every other episode can be found under the link right at the top of the page, show notes. Click that link and you'll find all of the past episodes listed below there. The most recent episode listed first and then downward in reverse chronological order. So you can find additional resource links, information, relational links to the news items we're talking about. And of course, you know, every time we have a tip of the week, I can cover things in very broad detail here on the show. It's your job to make sure that you head over to the Nursing Show site and follow those additional resource links for more in-depth knowledge about the topic. You know, I can cover things in broad detail here, but it's your job to know exactly how to apply what I talk about and to follow those additional resource links to understand what your specific scope of practice and guidelines are for your nursing practice. And that's your job. So I'll take care of trying to bring you additional information and news and information here on the show. And I'll definitely provide you additional resource links for everything we do here. If you'd like to get back in touch with me by email, send those emails in to nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from you. And if you have any comments you'd like to send in, just shoot those emails to me. I will respond to every email I get, and I respond to them. I really do. It might take me a day or two, but I will get back to you, let you know I got the email, and definitely answer any questions you might have. I may even share your question and give an answer here on the show. So send those emails in again, nursingshow@gmail.com. You can also contact me over on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/podmedic and facebook.com/podmedic. And of course, don't forget the Facebook fan page for The Nursing Show, facebook.com/nursingshow. No news this week. We're going to jump right into our interview segment with Amy Romano. I just had such a great time talking with Amy that the interview went a little longer than I usually do. And so I decided to kick the news out the door this week and go ahead and bring Amy in, and we'll just listen to her entire interview segment. If you'd like to find out more, you can find more from Amy over at scienceandsensibility.org. She writes for Lamaze International and runs that blog for them. She's a certified nurse midwife, and she's going to be talking about what it takes to be a certified nurse midwife and how she got into that career path. So without further ado, let's jump on into that interview segment with Amy Romano. Hi, this is Jamie Davis. We're here with a special interview segment, another career interview here on The Nursing Show. And I have with me Amy Romano, who is a certified nurse midwife. And Amy is, you may know her if you're on Twitter, as Midwife Amy on Twitter. She's also been a guest on the Insights in Nursing program in the past and hopefully again in the future. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about her career path in nursing, how she decided to go into nursing and eventually into becoming a certified nurse midwife. And I'm looking forward to this discussion. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for coming on the show and sharing your career with the listeners.
Yeah, sure. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start off with, first of all, talking a little bit about your educational path to becoming a nurse. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you decided to become a nurse or become a nurse midwife.
Sure. So I had I guess what would be referred to as a non-traditional path to nursing and midwifery, although I think it's becoming more common for sure. I had a bachelor's degree, a BA from the University of Michigan, where I had studied, I had designed my own concentration or major in women's health, and I also studied economics while I was there, and So I certainly had the interest from the beginning in women's health, and it was actually at Michigan where I first came to understand that there was such a thing as a contemporary midwifery practice, and I learned about nurse midwives there. And in fact, several of my classes were cross-listed between the liberal arts program and the nursing school. So I took several classes over at the nursing school, and nurse midwives were part of the faculty that, you know, for those coordinating those classes. And so I had this kind of aha moment, maybe junior year of my of college, thinking like, you know, I think I want to be a midwife. That sounds great. And I had really sort of come of, you know, as so many women do, come of age as like a feminist and really got involved in, you know, in all kinds of progressive issues in college. And I just, that something about midwifery, it felt like the one of the last, the feminist movement hadn't really like gotten all the way to childbirth and motherhood yet. It was really still an uneasy kind of pairing, I guess. And so that appealed to me, or intrigued me at least. And I was thinking, you know, I could really see that being an interesting career for me. But I was like so fixated on graduating with my friends and all of that, and it, just the idea of switching courses at that point. And Michigan does have a good nursing school, but I would have had to, you know, apply and get in and add a year or two to school in order to graduate with a BSN. So I just was like, you know what, I'll finish up. And I knew there were options for going back and getting the nursing piece later. And then I got kind of really interested in public health for a while and started to envision myself becoming a public health professional and going back for a master's in that. I worked, my first job out of school was at the National Cancer Institute, and they gave me, it was an internship, a year-long internship, and they gave me it was like, I don't know how I landed such a great job, but they gave me really tons of responsibility and ability to be creative and contribute meaningfully. And we were developing products for patient education products for the web, which was a brand new thing this was 1997,
mm-hmm.
And also print on cervical cancer and breast cancer. So I was able to really explore my women's health stuff. And then I worked in international public health for a couple of years. And then I just kind of had this awakening again where I was like, public health is really interesting, but I wasn't feeling like my individual contribution, at least at that stage in my career, was helping anybody be healthier. Even, you know, in retrospect, I'm sure it was, but there was something really appealing to just getting into a real one-on-one space with women again, or people again, and doing stuff around health and birth and all of that. So that's when I decided to go back to school. And at that point, I was really, it wasn't for me about becoming a nurse. And I really, frankly, think I had a lot of the stereotypes and misconceptions about the nursing profession, you know, well established in my brain, but I saw it as a means to an end. And I applied, I guess I briefly explored the possibility of getting, you know, a nursing degree and working for a couple of years and then but I just decided to find a program where I could do it all in one fell swoop. So I applied to a few schools that had that kind of track where you could just track right through the nursing stuff and right into midwifery, and I ended up at Yale, which was, you know, a great place for me, and where their nursing component is 12 months long, so it's really intensive and fast.
Wow.
And but everybody passes the board. It's pretty amazing. They really have the formula figured out. And then as it turned out, I for really kind of arbitrary random reasons, I ended up taking a year off in the middle of my midwifery, the 2 years that are for the midwifery, and that enabled me actually to work full-time as a nurse, and I also worked part-time for the times that I was enrolled in school. So I did end up working as an RN in the postpartum and well-baby unit, and really valued that. And I mean, I really woke up in nursing school to realize what an important profession it was and how much really does actually have in common with, you know, the nursing philosophy and the midwifery philosophy has huge overlap. Nursing practice and midwifery practice also overlap, I think, less than the sort of philosophical underpinnings of the two professions do. But it was really valuable in terms of being able to collaborate with nurses who are certainly, you know, part of the team that I work with now, and to understand that role and also to just gain some clinical skills in things like breastfeeding support and well baby care, which is part of the midwifery scope, and obviously, you know, just the postpartum well being for the mother and handling some of the kinds of complications and deviations from normal that come up after childbirth. So that was my path to nursing.
Now, it's interesting. You talk about midwifery and nursing as two separate professions, even though I think many people really think of them as going hand in hand. Can you explain a little bit about the differences between the two and why you think that they're two separate tracks or paths that may run parallel at times?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been plenty of debate and an interesting history about, you know, to what extent midwifery is, you know, subspecialty of nursing versus a separate profession. And actually, the American College of Nurse Midwives, which is my professional, you know, association, their definition of nurse midwifery is a person who is trained in the two disciplines of nursing and midwifery. So it's they really see midwifery as a separate discipline, but nurse midwifery as the combination of the two. And they, in fact, there are other routes to midwifery in the United States, which are it's the less common route to midwifery, but it's pretty well established these days to go. It's referred to, sort of generally speaking, as direct entry. And there are different ways that is certified and licensed, and some are unlicensed and not certified or regulated. But in any case, in some other countries, midwifery is a nursing specialty, and in most, I would say, or at least many, it's not associated or affiliated with midwifery. However, in those countries, there are a lot of countries where there's not really any such thing as a labor and delivery nurse, believe it or not. So midwives do the kind of bedside care or the one-on-one care in labor and birth. And so in a lot of ways they function like nurses do, and kind of, so it's been a different history in different parts of the world. And in the United States, midwifery, which, you know, I like to call it the second oldest profession, is, you know, midwifery was here long before nurse midwifery was, and it was really being threatened with dying out. And nursing attaching it to nursing and creating these public health pilot projects. There, you know, a very famous one was in Kentucky, where the midwives would ride on horses, and then in inner city in the tenements in New York City, and they were shining examples of, you know, effective ways of lowering the infant mortality rate and dealing with some of the other problems in birth. So it was really through that early 20th century, those projects, that midwifery became kind of totally wound up in nursing in the United States, and the profession sort of marched forward together. But the American College of Nurse Midwives, maybe, I don't know, a decade ago or so, maybe a little bit longer, did actually introduce a new mechanism for getting certified, and it's now referred to as certified midwife, and they go through this, they have the same educational requirements with some additional skills requirements, because obviously those people don't have the nursing background, and they sit for the very same exam. And right as of now, that certification is only recognized and eligible for licensure in, I think it's three states, maybe four. It's New York, I know New York, New Jersey, and Rhode Island. There may be a fourth one in there. So I think we're seeing this this uneasy relationship between nursing and midwifery. But again, like I said earlier, there's so much overlap. It's just I think it has more to do with, trying to figure out what is really necessary for midwifery practice. Is nursing a prerequisite to being, you know, able to safely and effectively practice midwifery? And if not, we're really in a crisis right now where we need more midwives, and there's a whole other very related crisis where maternity care and women's health in general is really kind of been consumed by the medical model and this overuse of technology and all that. And so in order to fix some of the problems that we're seeing, we need to train up more midwives. And so I think part of this move away from nursing, or at least these parallel mechanisms that sort of detach midwifery, at least partially from nursing, are a response to that and a way to get more midwives into practice without having to, you know, because I know a lot of women who are in my situation where I was, you know, a decade or so ago, where I knew I wanted to be a midwife and nursing was just like this thing I needed to get through. And it was, in retrospect, it was very valuable. But if there was a way that I could have done it without spending the money and the time to get the nursing degree, I probably would have taken that route. And I don't know that I would have been any better or worse off. I don't know. And I've had a chance to talk to somebody who runs the certified midwife program at SUNY Downstate in Brooklyn. And what she said is they train both nurse midwifery students and students. I think they were the first program that did the certified midwife educational component. And she says the people who come in as nurses have the most, the people that come in not as nurses and go through for the certified midwife have the most, have more to learn. But the people that come in as nurses have more to unlearn. And so I think that's an interesting way because nurses come, you know, they've been working in, you know, in the model, and most, in many cases, they've been working with physicians and possibly also with midwives. And so, you know, and they have a role and a scope of practice. And for some, it's harder to sort of shake off the parts of their role that aren't their role anymore and become competent and confident, probably more to the issue as, you know, independent practitioners who have, you know, broader, more depth and breadth, for that matter, to their scope. So
you talk a little bit about the scope of practice. Let's talk a little bit about what that scope is for a nurse midwife. Let's take a woman who's pregnant and is decided she'd like to engage a nurse midwife to provide care for her and maybe participate in a home birth. What can you just talk a little bit about how a nurse midwife addresses and cares for that patient throughout the course of the pregnancy and delivery and beyond?
Yes, but first I'm going to take one step back, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
And say that the scope of practice for midwifery is not just labor and birth. And in fact, about a third of midwives in the United States don't attend births or don't attend births anymore currently. So a lot of midwives are working in primary care settings or in GYN clinics doing family planning or well woman care. They might be doing, you know, working in public health clinics or even in private practice doing the whole thing. And so the scope is the care of the well woman from puberty through menopause. And so, and obviously that includes the reproductive years for those women who are going to have babies. And so, you know, I think midwifery is, and those of us who go into midwifery do it because we want to have a hand in the childbirth experience, but it's not the whole thing. And so, and something that happened when, like, the HMOs hit the scene and OBGYNs were fighting to not require, so that women wouldn't have to go to their primary care provider to get a referral to go to an OBGYN for like their pelvic exam. Midwives actually were successful in fighting that fight with obstetricians. And so midwives are also primary care providers. So you can go to a nurse midwife without a referral from your primary care provider, same way that you can go to an OBGYN for like the well woman thing.
Is that nationwide, or is that different state by state?
No, I believe that's nationwide, or at least it's you know, it's part of the standards of practice and the core competencies. And so, you know, we had to learn right along with our nurse practitioner students management of, or at least screening and initial management of things like diabetes and hypertension and upper respiratory infections, acute situations, and that kind of stuff. So, and of course, those affect women who are pregnant too. You don't want to refer out every woman that has a sinus infection for somebody else to manage that. So, and then the other thing I wanted, you know, misconception is the idea that midwives, that a woman who engages a midwife for her care is necessarily interested in home birth. And it's only about, I think, 3% of nurse midwives or 4% that do home birth, and there's another handful under 10% of midwives that work in freestanding birth centers, which are, freestanding, not attached necessarily to a hospital, and that offer that sort of low intervention, home style type of care. But most midwives by far practice in a hospital setting, and some are working even as sort of hospitalists, laborists is the term used in labor and delivery for, they only work in the hospital setting and don't do the ambulatory piece. But and midwives can take care of women that want to get pain relief in, if they're planning or at least open-minded to an epidural, midwives can order that in labor and all of that. So, but let's just take the woman, the typical woman who, because I would say most of the GYN care that midwives provide in most settings is to women who have had a baby with them, and that's when they sort of discovered midwives. Most, like, 15-year-old girls, however old the girl is when they realize they need their first GYN exam, probably aren't thinking midwife unless somebody has sort of taken them under their wing and said, hey, you might get a really nice experience with a midwife instead of a doctor, although there's great doctors, of course, too. So anyway, let's take the woman who's having her baby. So like I said, she wouldn't need a referral to a midwife. She could just look in the phone book or online and find out who the nurse midwives are. And we do, the model of prenatal care is very similar to the model that physicians provide where we do our initial intake visit. I would say it's a little more, in most settings, and there's so much variation, the midwives are going to not fragment the care quite as much. So it's not like you're going to come in and get your blood pressure checked by the nurse and your urine dipped by, the intake person or whatever. So you might be more likely, although not in every setting, to just have your whole visit with the midwife rather than having to stop off at different places. And the midwifery model is, very much focused on education and informed decision making, and so and really family-centered care, so that we do our best to include the partner, and if there's other kids, if there's toddlers and stuff, we involve them in the prenatal visits. So prenatal visit is usually a little longer for a midwife than with a doctor, and in the home birth setting, our prenatal visits were like an hour long, and sometimes they happen at the woman's house, so it's like very much family-centered. It's all about, her pregnancy in the context of her life, and but that's pretty indulgent to have an hour in our current system. So
absolutely,
half an hour, maybe 20 minutes for a typical prenatal visit, longer for the first one. But we can order blood and order ultrasounds, and midwives can also. There's a mechanism by which we can add skills after the core competencies that we learn. So if we want to add, for instance, ultrasound or basic ultrasound kind of thing, or first assisting at cesarean section. Those kinds of things can be added to the skill set. And so some midwives might, even provide ultrasound in the office, but we can order that kind of thing. We have prescriptive authority now in I think all states. There was one outlier, and I think it's finally done. But in any case, for the most part, midwives can prescribe all drugs, including controlled substances, and then for labor and birth care, assuming a hospital birth, if a woman's having a hospital birth with a doctor, the typical thing is the nurse, or maybe a hospitalist, sorry, I can never say that word when I need to, will, or a resident or something that will kind of, take care of the woman and help with the decision making around her care until, and the doctor comes in kind of periodically. The primary doctor, the woman she's hired for her care, comes in, always at the end for the birth, and often other times during the labor when the woman might need a vaginal exam. But even that's something that nurses do in a lot of settings. They'll do the vaginal exam, call up the doctor, say she's 6 centimeters, this is what's going on, the baby's doing this. And so some of that management happens over the phone. And the midwifery model is really, one of the hallmarks of midwifery is the idea of the kind of therapeutic value of human presence, and the idea that continuous one-on-one support for women is really, important. And there's actually a lot of research that supports that. And so we to the extent possible. And of course, it's possible that a woman might have multiple people in labor or be juggling, you know, office visits with whatever. But to the extent possible, the woman is with the, I mean, the midwife is with the woman throughout her labor, doing a lot of hands-on care and the emotional support and involving her partner and all of that. And we can, you know, the idea is that we collaborate, we can consult, collaborate, or refer depending on the situation, or independently manage. And so the independent scope of practice for labor and birth is, you know, obviously vaginal birth. Mm-hmm. And if there's complications, we can independently manage some of those. Like if the labor is slow, we could order Pitocin or rupture membranes or something like that to try to speed it along. Or if the woman needs an induction, that would be more likely to be kind of collaborative care, but where the midwife still is just basically kind of keeping the doctor apprised of the situation, but you know, and maybe running the plan by the doctor, but still doing the you know, bedside face-to-face care with the woman. Obviously, if a woman needs a C-section or she develops a prenatal complication, you know, that would be a referral situation. But again, you know, a situation with a C-section, we would often go in the operating room. In most hospitals, midwives are invited into the operating room. And like I said, in some cases, they might actually be a member of the surgical team. But if not, they're as a member of the support team for the woman. And then postpartum care is... midwife's scope of practice includes care of the well newborn through 28 days. In reality, most midwives don't practice that way, but some do, and in my practice I did. So we would, you know, kind of take care of the mother and baby as a dyad during that time and then discharge the baby to the pediatrician after that point. But in any case, you know, we do follow up. We discharge the woman from the hospital usually around the same time. In some places, their midwives will do early discharge, get the woman out of the hospital. The idea being that with proper postpartum support and outreach, she's actually going to have a better recovery at home. So if a woman is otherwise healthy and the labor went reasonably well and feels ready to go home on day one, she might go home and have a home visit from the midwife after. So there's, you know, there are a number of practices that function that way. Otherwise, it's the typical, you know, 2 days after vaginal birth, 3 or 4 after C-section, and then postpartum care in the office after that. So, and it's really just, you know, the same way that a primary care provider would, you know, manages the kind of normal things in the screening and, you know, can stabilize a situation. Like, say, you're primary care and you've got a kid that comes in with asthma, you can, you know, you've been maybe managing that kid and understand his health history. You can manage, you know, deal with an acute exacerbation in the office, and or at least stabilize it. And then, but if it's, you know, if it becomes bigger than that, and you need to enlist the help of specialists or hospitalize the kid, then you can do that, and you have a relationship with someone or a hospital that you can send the kid to. And there's just you know, like, I can do these things, and then if the situation worsens or the condition just deteriorates, then we need specialists. And so it really can be seen as midwives are kind of primary care providers and obstetricians are specialists. And that's how it's done in a lot of other countries. And in fact, in some countries, you can't even see an obstetrician without a referral from a midwife or without having, you know, any of a specific list of complications or conditions. In the United States, there are doctors that do the care of a normal well woman during her pregnancy too. So there's more of a competitive aspect, and so sometimes that adds a bit of animosity to the relationship. But it's, you know, on paper it's really simple. There's a scope of practice, and when things are outside of the scope of practice, you might need to, you know, have the doctor manage certain aspects of the care, or in some cases refer care entirely.
Okay. So if someone is interested in becoming a certified nurse midwife, let's say either they are labor delivery nurses currently, or they're in some other nursing area and they'd like to move in this direction, what's that path like? Is it a master's degree path? Is certified nurse midwife, are you moving towards the track of having doctoral degrees associated with advanced practice?
So there are multiple routes to practice. Most midwives are master's certified, and there are a few programs that are certification. My sense is that those might be kind of phasing out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are plenty of people who in the past got through that route and sort of grandmothered in, but they still exist. And like I said, there is a shortage of midwives. So the American College of Nurse Midwives has really taken kind of an evidence-based view and said, what are the requirements for safe and effective practice? And there have been studies that have compared, you know, the preparation and the actual outcomes of the midwives in different routes to practice, and not found that you need to have a master's in nursing or a master's in midwifery in order to practice safely or yield, you know, the right kinds of outcomes. So the ACNM has remained pretty committed to the idea of lots of different routes of practice and different options and different regions. There's different needs. So, and they have embraced the idea of the DNP, but they have maintained that it will not be a requirement to certification. So I don't know if that may be different in terms of a licensing requirement in certain states, but as far as in order to achieve the national certification as of now, and, you know, reaffirmed within the last year or two, the ACNM has said that that's not a requirement, and doesn't sound like that's going to change anytime soon. So the typical, you know, if somebody is interested in being a midwife, there are master's level classes, schools, and it's usually a 2-year program, and it's master's in nursing is probably the most common route. There are a couple of schools that have a master's of science in midwifery. And once upon a time, I know Boston University had a program that was actually a master's of science or master's in public health. I know that program closed. I don't know if there's others like that. And there are a couple of hospital-based programs where, like Bay State, which is in Massachusetts, has a program that's it's affiliated with the hospital, not with the university, but it's, you know, meets all the requirements for accreditation and for certification for the students who complete the program. There are also some distance learning options. So, like, if a nurse wants to stay in her community, but there's no, you know, her or his, there are such things as male nurse midwives. If a nurse wants to stay in her community, but there's not a midwifery program there, there's a number of distance programs where they can get, you know, arrange a clinical preceptor in their community and do the distance learning over the internet and the most well known, and I think probably the best of the distance programs is the Frontier Nursing School, and that's the one where nurse midwifery was formed. Those midwives on horseback in Kentucky, and so they have a distance program where I believe the students have to go a couple of times, you know, like once or twice per year to Frontier and have classes with their classmates, and you have a stable set of students that you're moving through the program with and who you're very connected with through, you know, online forums and, mm-hmm. and assignments that you might do together and that kind of stuff. But your clinical practices in your community, and so that one, that's a real important option for nurses to know about, and that's one that does require that you have a nursing degree. I believe all the master's programs require that you have a bachelor's in nursing, or if not that, then a bachelor's in something else, and, you know, some other nursing degree. That's typically the requirement that you have. So, like, when I went to Yale, I had to have a bachelor's, even though I didn't end up, I don't have a BSN still currently.
Excellent. Well, Amy, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to share your career path and share nurse midwifery with the listeners. Just real quick, where can people find you? I know you have the Science and Sensibility blog, and tell us a little bit about that and how people can find you.
Sure. So I've been doing some consulting work for Lamaze International for about 6 or 7 years now, and one of the things I do for them is I write a blog called Science and Sensibility, which is scienceandsensibility.org, or you can get to it from the main Lamaze page, which is lamaze.org. I'm also, like you said at the beginning of the show, on Twitter at Midwife Amy, and I'm in Connecticut. So if any of your listeners are in Connecticut, I'm currently the president of our Connecticut affiliate of the American College of Nurse Midwives. So I do some work in the region here to help the midwives in our state. So that's where I'm at.
Excellent. Well, Amy, thanks a lot, and hopefully we'll look forward to having you on the show in the future.
I hope so. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. And guess what? That's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank Amy Romano for coming on the show and taking some time out of her busy schedule to talk with me about being a certified nurse midwife and midwifery. I've got to make sure I pronounce that right from now on. I was pronouncing it wrong. But you can find out more about this episode, links to Amy's blog, and other good links about nurse midwives and midwifery over at the Nursing Show site in the show notes. So head over to nursingshow.com and check out the show notes link at the top of the page. You'll find the most recent episode listed first and the other episodes down in chronological order. So you can find any episode of the 147 or 8 odd episodes of The Nursing Show all over at nursingshow.com. If you'd like to get back in touch with me, of course, don't forget you can leave a comment on any of the articles and show notes entries over on the site, and that's a great way to share your comments directly with the entire community. But if you'd like to comment and get a hold of me directly, you can send me an email, nursingshow@gmail.com. You can also contact me via Facebook and Twitter, and that's twitter.com/podmedic and facebook.com/podmedic. You can also become a fan of the Nursing Show fan page. You know, we're really growing that fan page over there on Facebook quite quickly, and I'd like you to become a fan of the show. So if you're on Facebook, head over to facebook.com/nursingshow and check out that fan page. You know, it's a great way to follow what's going on with the show. I share additional information and ask questions of the fans separately from what I do in the show and on the blog. So you should definitely do that, and you can just click that like button at the top of the page, and then those questions and comments will show up in your Facebook stream, and you can see when I've asked a question and just head over there and answer it. So it's great to be a fan of the show, and I encourage you, that's a great way to also interact with other members of the Nursing Show community. Time to close out the show, and we'll wrap up the show with some PodSafe music, as we always do. This is going to be a song from the band called The Fire Apes called Hey Kate. I think I've played this one here on the show before. So check out the link in the show notes. Support these independent bands as they support independent shows like mine, the podcasts out there. So they share their music with me so I can share it with you. So show your support and check out their links. Let them know you heard it here on The Nursing Show. And I would put this out there. You know, if you know anybody who's in a band and would like to share their music, they can get in touch with me via the Nursing Show email, nursingshow@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from them, and maybe we can share their music here with the Nursing Show listeners. So if you've got a favorite band and you know them and they'd like to make their music available here on the podcast and share with the listeners, and they have the license to do so, we'd love to have them take care of it. So if they want to get in touch with me, I can give them all the details on how they can do that, and they can send me a CD, or they can send me the music via MP3 or whatever, and I will share it with you. That's it. I'm Jamie Davis. I'll be back again soon, every Friday here on The Nursing Show, with another episode just for you to wrap up your week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
I only meant to make you happy. I never meant to make you cry. And if you leave, I'll leave tomorrow.